Now, if you will, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 for the text of our lesson this morning. I'd like for us to read together verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the reading of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. If we just listen to ourselves talk from time to time, and I find myself as guilty as the next person, we find our conversation filled with complaints and negative things and expecting things to get worse, and then even worse than that. That's just the way we seem to. I think part of that's part of just being people, part of it's being an American. And also part of it's being conservative in a world that's becoming so liberal. And we just, there's always the complaining that we find. But the Apostle Paul tells us how we can have peace and joy. That, of course, is what the book of Philippians is all about. In verse 4 of our text, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And there it's a verb. And it's a command. It tells us we are to be rejoicing, which is another way of saying have joy. Joy is the feeling that all is well. And that is the way that we are commanded to be. It's a part of being a Christian. It's central to the way that we think as Christians, that we have this inward, very deep-seated feeling that all is well with our soul, that all is well. Regardless of what this world brings, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And then there's those that always are worrying and cannot seem to stop worrying and always having no assurance. And yet the Lord says in verse 7 of the Apostle Paul, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is the absence of turmoil. A peace is the absence of a mind that's distracted and worried in every direction. You cannot sit on anything because you're just worried about everything that comes along. Instead, we have a calm assurance, a peace as Christians, that regardless of what the world brings, that we stand right with God. And so these two things, joy and peace, are both our rights as Christians, and also as blessings that God gives us in His Son Christ Jesus, and also our obligation as Christians to rejoice in the Lord. Now, in the book of Philippians, we have this matter of peace and joy from different standpoints. First of all, how can we have peace and joy if the circumstances of this life are bad? Well, Paul was writing chapter 1 in the midst of chains, critics, and crisis. He was in prison, he was chained, and he had people outside who were his brethren who were criticizing him, and he faced the real possibility of a violent death as the result of the charges that the Jews had brought against him, and yet he had peace and joy in writing to the brethren in Philippi. And how did he have that peace and joy? Now, this is a passage we want to remember, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The worst thing life can bring to me is death, and yet to die is gain if we are faithful in Christ Jesus. Let life bring what it will. If we're faithful in Christ Jesus, then we can have peace and joy because there's nothing worse that can happen to us than death, and that's simply gain for us. But what about when everybody's against us? When everybody thinks that little bunch of Andes, that little bunch of Camelites, while they don't, they're just opposed to everything, they're wrong in every possible way, who would want to go there? And of course, that's just as a group, but think about what people might say about us as individuals, have all kinds of bad things to say about us. How can I have peace and joy When people just don't think anything at all of me, if they do think of me, they think I'm just less than the least. Well, that's how the Apostle Paul was able to handle things, by having the mind of Christ, the mind of humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And that's Philippians 2, verse 5. That's the mind of humility. That's the mind that says, I'm going to put God first, others second, myself last, and by doing that I can have peace and joy. We have the example of Christ. We have the example of Paul himself. We have the example of Timothy. We have the example of Epaphroditus. And all of these that put God first, others second, themselves last, they had peace and joy as the result. But what about, and I just don't have anything in this world. If I'm poor, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay my bills. I just don't know how in the world I'm going to make it through to the next payday. How can I have peace and joy? Well, that's by having the spiritual mind. Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about the things of this world and how we can have peace and joy regardless of how many of the things of this world we have. And the key to that is Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Paul looks at his past as Paul the accountant, and those things that were most to him, he counts them as less than nothing, just a manure pile, in order to have Christ Jesus. Then in his present, he's Paul the athlete. He's pressing on to the things that are above rather than thinking of the things here. And then in the future, he's Paul the citizen. His citizenship is in heaven rather than upon this earth. And that, of course, is the spiritual mind, the mind that says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." In Philippians chapter 4, we have three things that give us the peace and assurance and the joy that we have in Christ. First of all, there is the assurance that comes through Christ, which we have in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and going down through verse 9. And then we have God's provision, and then we have God's power in the remainder of the chapter. But what I want to look at this morning is just the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus, in order that we have the peace and the mind that the peace and the joy that are ours as Christians in Christ Jesus. And we receive four keys to having this peace and joy as we go through verses 1 through 9. So begin with me now in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 4. And first of all, the first key is being right with the Lord. And as you go through verses 1 through 5, look and see there's a prepositional phrase, a phrase that occurs over and over again, primarily in one form and in more than one form also, that gets across to us the fact that it's our relationship with Christ that is the key to having this assurance that brings us peace and joy in Christ Jesus. Now begin in verse 1. "Therefore, my beloved long for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." So in order to have the peace and the joy that are ours as Christians, we have to stand fast in the Lord. Now, of course, we know that means the right relationship to Christ Jesus. To begin with, we have to come to Christ and be Christians. And then we have to stand fast, be faithful in Him, not turn aside to the world. If we're not in Christ Jesus, then we ought to be worried. We shouldn't have any peace. We shouldn't have any joy. We should be afraid of death. We should be afraid of things around us because we're not ready to meet the Lord. But in Christ and being faithful to Him, we have the assurance of our salvation, of eternal life, and so we can have this peace and joy. Now, how do we come to Christ? Well, I want to go back to Acts chapter 16, because this, of course, is where Paul is in the city of Philippi. And we see how the Philippians came to Christ, and that's how we must come to Christ. In Acts chapter 16, I'm going to briefly set the context, but I think you're already familiar with it. Paul and Silas are in the city of Philippi in Macedonia, and they cast a demon out of a demon-possessed girl who had a spirit of divination, and they've been thrown in prison, they've been beaten and thrown in prison as the result. And there's at midnight, and there is a great earthquake. And as the result of the great earthquake, the prison doors were opened, the bonds of the prisoners were loosed. There was a jailer there, and I won't take the time to set all of the context, but he had seen what had been going on. And then this great earthquake took place, and he realized that if those prisoners escaped, he would be put to death, probably he'd have to suffer the punishment they were to suffer. And so he was about to commit suicide. He's going to fall on the sword and take his own life. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." And this jailer called for light and sprang and became trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. And now, this is Acts 16, verse 30. Said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, there is the right attitude. He is wanting to know what to do. If you find me somebody that says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" I guarantee you I can go from there. I can tell them what to do in order to be saved. Just find me those folks that want to know what to do to be saved. That's your role as the member of the congregation. My role is to try to teach them. Now, you can teach them also if you'd like to. But if you'll just get me those people and say, "What must I do to be saved?" I'll be glad to sit down with the Bible and show them how to be saved. And so Paul and Silas told the man how to be saved. Well, that's the same thing as how to come to the Lord, because salvation is in Christ Jesus. And they said, this is verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now certainly, that shows we have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Faith, now they're hearing the gospel. Faith is essential to salvation. That's certainly true. But now people take this passage and say, "Well, this passage teaches salvation by faith alone." It doesn't do any such thing. In fact, if you stop and think, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, if I believe in Christ, will that save all my family? No, they have to believe also, don't they? Why does he say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household, you and all your family"? Well, read on. They didn't stop there. People like to stop there because all that's mentioned is faith thus far, and they like to teach salvation by faith alone. But that's not all that Paul and Silas said. Look at verse 32. "And they spoke to him the word of the Lord and all who were in his house." So not only in answer to the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Not only did they say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," they also spoke to him the word of the Lord. Well, when they spoke the word of the Lord, what did they speak? It doesn't say. Well, how can we know? Well, what did he do? Whatever he did it in response to their speaking the word of the Lord. So see what he did, and that'll tell us what they told him to do in response to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, what did he do? All right, read on. "He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes." Now this is a man that not long before this had thrust them into the innermost prison and made their feet fast secure in the stocks. But now he's washing their wounds. Now what does that tell you about that man? He's changed, hasn't he? He has repented of his sins. Undoubtedly they told him to repent of his sins. And so now this man who had been persecuting them, this man is bathing their wounds. So this man has repented of his sins. So he took them, washed their stripes, and was baptized. Now why was he baptized? Where did that come into the picture? They didn't say anything to him about being baptized, did they? They must have. Because they just spoke to him the word of the Lord and respond. And by the way, he had asked, "What must I do to be saved?" In response to that, they spoke to him the word of the Lord. And in response to the speaking of the word of the Lord, he was baptized, he and all his. Now there's where the salvation of his household. He and all his household were baptized. And by the way, they put it off till the Sunday they're going to have baptized, didn't they? Once a quarter they're going to have a baptizing. And so they put it off till then. "I'm not ready yet, let's put it off a while." Is that what they did? They were baptized, he and all his, immediately. The old King James Version says straightway. That means immediately, the same hour of the night. And so rather than putting it off, it had to do with the salvation. They had to do it in order to be saved. So they did it immediately. And he brought them into his house and set food before them, further proof he's repenting, and rejoiced. What did he do? He rejoiced. There's the beginning of that man. Now see, this is not the very beginning of the church of Philippi. Lydia and her house have already been led to the Lord in Acts chapter 16, back in verses 12 and 13 through 14. But this is the second one we read about in Philippi that was led to the Lord. And we see when he rejoiced. When did he rejoice? After he was baptized. Why did he rejoice? Believing in God with all of his household. Well, wait a minute. Why does it not say he believed until after he was baptized? Because the saved believer is the baptized believer. And if a person doesn't have enough faith to be baptized, he doesn't have enough faith to be saved. And so there's what they did in order to come to the Lord. And that's what anybody else must do in order to come to the Lord. But then having, now back in Philippians chapter 4. Then having come to the Lord, see, this is how the Philippians came to the Lord. And Paul said to the Philippians, therefore, beloved brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. Be faithful and loyal to the Lord. My dear little beloved. So if we are to have rejoicing, if we're to have the joy and the peace that are ours as being Christians, we must remain faithful in Christ. The right relationship to Christ Jesus. Well, all right, reading onward there. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, I'm going to return to this. Euodia and Syntyche, those are women's names. So these are women. And this, by the way, as far as I know, is the only negative thing found in the book of Philippians, that apparently were two women there that needed to learn to get along with each other. And so the Apostle Paul tells them, be of the same mind. But notice, in the Lord. There's the basis by which we can all have the same mind. We're all in the Lord. And Jesus is directing us. So how do we have that peace and joy? It's in the Lord. We have to have the right relationship to the Lord. Verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion. Now he may just be talking about the whole church as his companion. There's nothing there that I can see where he takes one particular person. He says, help those women. Now this may be Euodia and Syntyche, who labored with me in the gospel. We should help women in their work of laboring in the gospel. With Clement also, we don't know who Clement is, and the rest of my fellow workers, there were others who worked with Paul, whose names are noticed in the book of life. Where does that peace and joy come from? Knowing that our names are in the book of life. Then we have, if I know that my name is enrolled in heaven, if I know I'm in the Lord, if I know if I'm standing fast in the Lord, I'm faithful, Lord, then I have the right to have the peace and the joy. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord. That rejoicing is in our relationship to Christ. It's in the Lord always. Not just some of the time, but always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And so, the first thing that we have to have, that first key to having the assurance which will give us peace and joy, is to know that my relationship to the Lord is what it ought to be. And regardless of what happens to me, if I were to die, then I get to go and to be with the Lord, which is far better. Now, verse 5 is another key, the second key. Let your gentleness, now the old King James says your moderation, and I really like that old King James rendering, moderation. The Vine's dictionary says the word means sweet reasonableness. I don't get accused very often of being sweet, but I do try to be reasonable. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody that just will not listen? You cannot get them to hear another person's side. They're going to tell you their side till the cows come home. But they're not going to listen to your side. They're unreasonable. You cannot reason with them. Well, a gentle person, a moderate person, is a reasonable person. Somebody you can reason with and who tries to get along with other people. Number two, the second key to having the assurance of mind that will bring peace and joy is to be right with other people. To learn to be a gentle person, That doesn't mean that you never get riled up about anything. It means that you are willing to listen to the other side. And you hear it reasonably, and you're willing to realize, you know, sometimes I can be wrong. I need to listen to the other guy and to hear what he has to say. Now, with that in mind, go back to verse 2. I implore you, Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. If we both let the Lord direct us, then we learn to have the same mind. We think alike, and we're considerate of each other. And we listen to one another. And so we learn to get along with each other. There's the second key. You know, some people are miserable because they never listen to other people. They never try to get along with the people. It's going to be their way or the highway. You know, anybody like that? Now, they'll talk and talk and talk, but they'll never listen. I know some folks like that. I'm kin to some folks like that. They just will not. Well, we must not be that way. Must be trying to get along with other people. Then in verse 6, we read a third key. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is worrying all the time, where we cannot put that worry aside and just going off to sleep. And I've been that way in the past, and I try not to be that way anymore. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now I want you to think about this matter. Anxious worry. We're lay awake worrying about things. Most of the things that we lay awake worrying about. Number one, things that will never happen. And number two, things we cannot do anything about. That's the reason we lay awake worrying about it. Now, I'm going to give you two things never to worry about. Any other thing you want to, you can worry about. But please never worry about these two things. Are you with me? Don't worry about anything you can do something about. Do something about it. Don't worry about anything you cannot do anything about. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you cannot do anything about it, but He can. And He will. Anything else you want to worry about, feel free. But don't you worry about something you cannot do anything about. And don't you worry about something you can do something about. And those things that you cannot do anything about, you say, it's just beyond me. I don't know what to do about it. Then that's the reason you take it to the Lord in prayer, because He can and He will. He's got broader shoulders than you and I have. I don't care how broad your shoulders are. He is broader than yours. He can do something about it. In everything by prayer. Prayer, of course, simply talking to God. And supplication. That's where we request God for our own personal needs. With thanksgiving. How often do we ask God for all kinds of things and never pause to thank Him for all the wonderful blessings He gives us every day? The third key to having the assurance of mind, which give us the peace and the joy that is our legacy, our right as Christians, is to take our cares to God in prayer. And while we're taking Him our cares, we're praying with supplication, also to be ready to thank Him, to think about all the wonderful things He's given us. Did you ever stop and think, you know, I have to do this every once in a while, just to stop and think about, I have been blessed so wonderfully. It's hard for me to accept. It's hard for me to understand. To be born in America, to be born with parents who were Christians, to have a wife who is a dedicated Christian, and all the material things we've been given. All of those things are just blessings that are almost beyond counting. Just too much to imagine we have those blessings. Just to have thanksgiving for all the things that God has given us. And thus He tells us to be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Notice verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's how? It's through Christ Jesus. It's the right relationship to Jesus Christ. When the people of the world are saying, how in the world could anybody keep their sanity in that situation? when everything impossible is going wrong, the Christian with the right relationship to Christ can be perfectly calm, have an assurance, and have a joy, and have a peace, because we have the assurance in Christ Jesus. We've got the right relationship to Him, the right relationship to our fellow man. We're casting all of our cares upon Him. We can have that calmness, that assurance, that peace of mind, that joy, because of the right relationship to Christ Jesus. And you know what? That's the best safeguard there is to maintain our sanity. People go insane because they worry so much and they have so many guilt trips, and sometimes they need to have those guilt trips because they're guilty. And they cannot resolve those things through Christ Jesus because they won't turn to Him in faith. They lose their sanity. And we have a safeguard to keep our sanity, to keep us from worrying ourselves to insanity or to have guilt to insanity, because we have the right relationship with Christ, we have the right relationship with other people, and we take our cares to God in prayer. And then there's one fourth key we want to get before this lesson's over. And that's verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, there are things that are honorable and upright to think about, and then there's things that are just low down and rascally we shouldn't be thinking about. Whatever things are just, there's those things where somebody did what was right instead of those things where somebody did what was wrong. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, there's keeping our thoughts on things that are pure and upright rather than things that are sinful and vile. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, the things that are lovely to think about instead of things that are ugly and filthy to think about. If there is any, or whatever things are of good report, something is good been said about it. Or if there's anything, if there's any virtue, virtue is moral excellence. Think about those things that are morally upright, morally excellent. And if there's anything praiseworthy, instead of thinking where somebody did you wrong, or maybe somebody's going to do you wrong, think about where somebody did what was right to you, or what helped you, or was generous towards you, or said something nice about you or to you. Think about those things. Then he says, meditate on these things. Do you know, now listen carefully please, we can control the way we think. Some people, I just can't control the way. Yes, you can. You need to learn the self-control, the self-discipline to control the way that we think. Instead of sitting around thinking about how somebody did you wrong and how'd you like to get back at them. Instead of sitting around thinking about what somebody said bad about you, or what somebody might do something bad, or thinking about filthy and vile things with our minds down in the gutter, get through your mind on these 8 things that the apostle lists in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Get rid of stinking thinking and think right. Get our minds right, set on the right way. And when we find ourselves alone at night in our bed and haven't gone to sleep yet and thinking about bad things, just turn around and think about it. First of all, make a prayer. Have a prayer to God to get your mind right. And then set your mind on things that are good. Maybe somebody said something good about you or to you. Maybe somebody did something nice for you. Something honorable. Something lovely. Something virtuous. Something praiseworthy. Get your mind on those things instead of the bad things. What's the result? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, should guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, did you know anybody that ever did like that? Read verse 9, and then the lesson will be yours. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is writing to people that he led to Christ. And he's telling them, you follow my example. The things that I taught you, the way that I showed you to live, you do it that way, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, Paul, how did you do it? All right, go back before we finish. Go back to Acts 16. Paul and Silas are preaching in the city of Corinth. Philippi. And in the city of Philippi, they are have a young woman following them around, and she is a slave girl, and she's possessed with an evil spirit, and she's crying out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, show us the way of salvation." And Paul was not going to accept any help from the devil. And so after this happened for a long time, he turned and in the name of the Lord, he casts out the demon. And her masters have their way of illicit gain taken away from them. And so they grab Paul and Silas and take them to the rulers of the city. They say, "These men are Jews, and they're exceedingly troubling our city. They're teaching things not lawful for us to observe, being Romans." They wave the flag and they arouse racial prejudice all in one fell swoop. And they pull off their clothes and beat them, turn them over to the jailer, and the jailer threw them into the dungeon and made their feet fast in the stocks. Well, now that's a low-down, dirty thing to do. How could they do that to me? And Paul and Silas at midnight were griping and complaining and saying, "When we get out of here, I'll show you. I'm a Roman citizen. You can't do this to me." Is that what Paul and Silas were doing? Now look at Acts 16, verse 25. At midnight, the time when we lay awake thinking about somebody said something bad about me, or somebody did something bad to me, or something awful is going to happen to me. At midnight, Paul and Silas were singing praises to God, praying and singing praises to God. Not griping, not complaining, not cussing. Pray and singing praises to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Do you know that our attitude affects the people around us? Whether they come to Christ or they don't come to Christ. The very next thing we read about is an earthquake. And the man who was their chief persecutor became a Christian. And what was the background to that? The men he had persecuted, they would listen to them at midnight as they were praying and singing praises to God. Boy, that's a lesson for me. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now there's the example. There's the example of a man who had peace and joy and no thing in this world could take those away from him. When he was in the stocks in the dungeon, he was singing hymns to God and praising God and praying to God. And with an example like that, if we'll follow that, we too can have the peace and the joy. If we have that assurance in Christ Jesus, the right relationship to Christ, the right relationship to others, prayer, and thinking right, we too can have the peace and the joy, the peace that passes understanding, and the joy that the world cannot know. That's what you can have as a Christian. If you need to come to Him, you can do it now while we stand and while we sing.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly